go back to the Israel conflict is to understand a little bit about where it comes from. And to understand where it comes from, we have to understand, excuse me, we have to understand why we deserve to have Eretz Yisrael. Why do we deserve to have Eretz Yisrael? So you go back, we have a person called Abraham Avinu. God Almighty appears to Abraham Avinu at a time when he believed in God and the entire world believed in idols. And Abraham Avinu is there, and God hasn't yet appeared to him. He hasn't appeared to him, but nevertheless, Abraham Avinu is going with God. At that time, there was a king called Nimrod, and Nimrod, by his definition, is called Mered. He rebelled. He rebelled against God Almighty, and he said, I'm the God. And eventually, Abraham Avinu, he has a father whose entire house is full of idols, and he has a shop full of idols, and he wants his son to take care of the business in the future. And Abraham Avinu denies everything. He gets to understand God Almighty from a young age. He goes out, he says, there's a stars, there's a sun, there's a moon. In the daytime, there's a sun. So maybe the sun is the God. Then the night comes the moon. Then maybe the moon is the God. It can't be the sun and the moon is the God, because they can't have too many. All these, what, they fight with each other every day, different times. And then there's this God and that God. There must be one God, King, creator of the entire universe. He comes to that definition and he believes in it. And Nimrod is challenged. Eventually, Nimrod chucks him into the fire. And Nimrod is later called by the Torah by a different word. He's called Amraphel. Amraphel, he's one of the kings that eventually Abraham fights. Why is he called Amraphel? Because Amar Pol, when you see that word in the Torah, Amraphel, it's talking about Nimrod. Amar Pol, he said to Abraham, fall in the fire. The Ben Yishchai asks the question, why did he tell him fall in the fire? Just chuck him in the fire. He should have said, chuck him in the fire. And the Ben Yishchai explains with two beautiful answers. And he says, Nimrod's koach, Nimrod's power was black magic. It's the good old days. Proper black magic. He understood. People thought he was a god because he was able to do certain things which looked like he was master over certain matters. He used his black magic, and he understood that he was coming against an Abraham who believed in the one God who was the Emet. So what did he do? Amar Pol. He tried to speak to the fire, you know, black magic style, and tell the fire, get rid of this guy. Take him out. Let's do some black magic. You know, when you do magic, you speak, you words it. Amar Pol. Didn't work. According to the second opinion of the Ben Yishchai says, Amar Pol, you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to convince him. He was trying to take him away from his emunah. What do you do? What does the media do nowadays? The media tries to convince you. This side is right, that side is right. And they're not 50-50 anymore. They do what they want. And everyone, this is a black brainwash and this. Everybody try and coerce you to understand. And by that, they make a movement. They make a rebellion. And that's what Nimrod wanted to do. He wanted to put bad thoughts into Avram's mouth and his mind. And Avram didn't have any of it. Avram stayed with his emunah, and he gets chucked into the fire, and it's a proper fire. If ever anyone's been close to a bonfire, you'll understand what I mean by fire. It's a proper kibshan ha'esh. He gets put into the fire, and he's there, and he's alive, and the malach is protecting him. And eventually Nimrod hears, after a few days, he should have been dead after a few seconds, minutes, he sends his soldiers, go bring, you know, calm down the fire and bring out whatever the dust, the afar. They said to him, he's still alive. He's sitting there like he's glowing. He's still alive. Oh, yeah, he's still alive. Go and bring him out. So they try to come to bring him out. As soon as they got in, they all get burnt. They can't bring him out until Nimrod himself has to say, Abraham, get out. He comes out. He comes out. And Nimrod tells him, okay, you came out alive. Now, at this stage, you'd expect Nimrod to admit, right? We have a problem in the world. What's the problem? There's the right side, there's the wrong side. And we're always telling the world, we're right, we're right, we're right. And no matter how much truth you can get out there, they were saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And sheker, sheker, sheker. The problem is, even when we show them that we are right, what happens? That's not the end of the story. Nimrod sees that Abraham is correct. He understands in front of him is a guy who's just survived a massive fire. But nevertheless, it's not the end for him. He tells him, listen, mate, you can't live here with me. It's not going to work here, right? You're too good for me, basically. Get out. Yeah? If I see you again, I'm going to kill you. You just tried to kill me, right? Maybe, do you listen to what you're trying to say? Tov, Avraham now has a choice. He can just stay because God has protected him, or he can go. It is at that stage that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Almighty, God Almighty, says to him, Avraham, hey guy, how are you? Good to see you. It's the first time I appear to you. He appears to Avraham and he tells him the following words. Lech lecha. Go for yourself. What does that mean, lech lecha? Go for yourself. He tells him, where should I go? El ha'aretz asher eka. Go to the land that I'm going to show you. So, he's telling him to go. He's not telling him where to go. And is it the right time to tell him to go? From Avraham's perspective, definitely not. Imagine you're Avraham. The whole of Mesopotamia now has witnessed and they've heard of this guy got chucked into the fire. He believed in the one God, the King of Kings. Imagine what Kiruv you can do then. Imagine how many people will come back to God in Nimrod's own town and God is telling him, leave. If it was us, we'd say, Hashem, thank you for the advice. But, you know, I spent my whole life making sure that you are the main, you know, being in this world. And this is the place to be. And you've done a miracle for me. Let me start the Kiruv movement here. What's this Lech Lecha business? And where do you want me to go? Where? El Ha'aretz Ashareka? To land. Questions and questions and questions are coming up into his mind. And he says, I'm still going to go. And he lifts up his feet and he goes. That is emunah. That is emunah. That is faith. That is belief. Because belief is when you got the questions and you stand up and you become a man, yeah, and you go with God, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens your doors. So long as we think that we are the owners, we define our own destiny, we're in charge, we have the greatest army, we have the best defense, we have the best doctors, we have the best lawyers, we rule the throne, we. Yeah? So Hashem said, okay, no problem. You're good? Okay, I'll leave it in your hands. There's nature. I'll leave it in your hands, v'chavod. You have the best, v'chavod, go. But there's always these exogenous factors that you don't know that might happen. I'll leave it in your hands. But when we say, HaKadosh Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, we're saying, Hashem, we're leaving it to you. You're me'al hamazal, you're on top of everything. And so Avraham Avinu, at the beginning of his, after he's already spent 75 years believing in God, he gets tested, chucked into a fire, and he's called Avraham Avinu because we all, he's our father. When you say someone's your father, it means you go after your father. Your father experienced something, you could be experiencing the same thing. You learn from your father's history. He had to do, oh, my father, he came from Europe. He didn't have a penny. And he managed to build a big business. Okay, so you relate to it. You want to be that kind of person that can build your own business. You relate to it. My father, yeah, he went through many trials and tribulations. He was ill and then he pushed it off and he survived. Yeah, okay, so you want to. Avraham Avinu gets tested. And his test was to keep his emunah strong, even with all the questions that were going on in his mind. So this is what happens. Lech lecha, he goes. He leaves. He's not promised anything yet. He gets to the land, El ha'aretz asher ereka, to the land I'm going to show you. He didn't even know where he's going. Imagine he's got a yeshiva, he's got all the people, and he tells them, listen, guys, we're going to go. Where are we going? I don't know. What time are we going? I don't know. But we have to leave. And he leaves this place, he leaves his homeland, he leaves his family behind, he leaves his, everything he's going to leave behind, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. And he goes to the land of Israel, and he's promised there, I'm going to make you successful, I'm going to make you a blessing, I'm going to give you kids. And as soon as he arrives to the land of Canaan, as it was called at the time, Canaan, you know what Canaan is? Canaan is Arur Canaan, they were cursed. It was a cursed nation. God brings him. He thought he was coming to the amazing Gan Eden. He comes to a cursed land. Cursed people, cursed land, because the land seemed to be cursed because there was, as soon as he arrived, a famine. Another test. A famine. Well, he gets over it. He eventually goes down to Egypt. And Paro takes care of him. He feeds him. He gives him food and this or the other. in the beginning, Paro wanted his wife, obviously, you know, and eventually he couldn't have his wife. He realizes it's a holy person. He takes care of him, he houses him, and he sends him back with a lot of money. And this was the prelude to what's going to happen to Am Yisrael. We're going to come down because we need to come down because of food. Paro is going to try and do bad to us, and eventually we're going to come up. This was the prelude. Ma'aseh avot siman labanim. What happens to our fathers happens to us. It's history. It's history. If you look in history, whenever the Jewish people in the Navi is full of it. The Jewish people are with God, they start to grow successful. The Jewish people sin, then God sends enemies. The Jewish people do teshuva, then God banishes the enemies. Then the Jewish people sin again, and it's up, it's the curve. This is the curve of you get up and down, up and down, up and down. And we need to go above the curve, right? That's what happened in Britain. What's happened over the past 15, 20 years? What's happened with the interest rates? What happened with the inflation? They managed to keep it. The economy is booming still. Beforehand, start. So, and then there's suddenly a big boom again to the thing. But the idea of every economist is to try and get an equilibrium where you can manage, that you can be successful, and can be flourishing and constantly going up. But life is about ups and downs. So Abraham Avinu is there, and he comes and he goes back. And he's promised the land of Israel. He's promised the land of Israel. And the question is, what's so good about this land? And more so, what do we learn from this idea of Lech Lecha? The Sfat Emet says the following. And this is what I want to partake to you today. Sometimes you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. Sometimes you accept upon yourself a new mitzvah. And you expect God to pay you back straight away. And he doesn't. And you feel let down. And sometimes, I remember when we were praying, it was a soldier many, many years ago that got captured by the terrorists, Yimach Shamam. And the entire nation of Israel was praying and praying and praying and praying. And they tried to do a raid. And unfortunately, he didn't survive. And you feel very let down. It happens, unfortunately, it happens every few years. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't work out, and you feel let down. And the question is it worth it? Is it worth it? Avraham Avinu gave us the answer. Avraham Avinu is told, Lech Lecha, go for yourself. And you know what he means, go for yourself? It means you have a destiny. You can either sit still and complain and be sad and put yourself into depression, or you can keep on going. You can be strong. Our duty as a Jew is to keep on fighting. And don't ever think that what you're doing doesn't have any effect, because it does. Lech lecha. Keep on going. Keep on moving. You've been chucked into the fire. You think it's over here. It's not over here. Your destiny is in Israel. And I'm going to guide you there. Lech lecha. Go. So he keeps on going. You come to Israel. There's a famine. So maybe I should stop now. No. Go down. Lech lecha. You go down. You come up. You come up with wealth. Maybe that's the end of the game. No. Now he's got wealth. He settles. Lot has got loads of... His nephew, Lot, has got loads of sheep as well. They come up. Lot gets blessed. Why did Lot get blessed? Because when he went down to Egypt, he could have mentioned that Sarah was Abraham's wife. And then they would have killed off Abraham. And then Lot would have survived. He would have got some bakshish from the Egyptians, probably. Yeah. And he could have survived like a rich... But he kept quiet. So he kept quiet. When he comes back up, he's blessed. But really, he's blessed because he's connected to a tzaddik. He's connected to Avraham Avinu. They come up, and now there's a fight between, when you get blessing, when you get rich and wealthy, partners, unfortunately, too wealthy, can be that there's a bit of a strife. As if they're good, they're united partners, there's nothing to worry about. But Lot has one motive, and Avram's got another motive. Lot only cares about money, and Avram cares about Hashem. So they fight. And so Avram says, you go one way, I'm going to go the other way. I don't want to fight. Where does Lot choose to go? Sodom and Amorah. This guy is choosing Sodom. You know what Sodom and Amorah was? The worst place in the world. It was full of sin and everything, and Lot chooses over there. Avram goes there. Eventually, there are four kings. They come, and they're destroying the whole Middle East. They're fighting against the rebellion, and they conquer Lot, and they take him to the north. And the reason they want to capture Lot is because they want Avram to chase after him, and they want to kill Avram. And one of those kings is, guess who? Amraphel, Nimrod. He wants revenge. He wants to get back. He wants to capture Lot, take him to the north. Avram's going to run after, they capture and kill him, finish. And Avram goes and he fights the war with 318 men against thousands, and he wins the battle and he brings Lot back. Lot survives. And where does Lot go? Back to Sodom. Lot is there again. So you might think, this guy's a joker. I helped him out. He's going back to his bad ways. What a waste of my time. What a waste of my time. But Hashem says, Lech Lecha. You see, we only see a small picture, but God sees the big picture. So Avraham saves Lot. And Lot is in Sodom when Hashem destroys the whole of Sodom. And he sends, in a few weeks in the parasha, He sends the Malachim to Avram, and then afterwards to Lot. And the Malachim, the angels, come and they save Lot. And we're thinking, what's going on? And Avram's praying for Lot constantly. Why is he praying? Because from Lot comes Rut. And from Rut comes King David. And from King David comes Mashiach. And sometimes you're thinking, what am I doing? Do I really need to go and do this? Do I need to? Yes, Lech Lecha, keep on going. If you've got emunah, if you're praying for the right thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking every prayer and he's putting it aside. He's taking every tefillah and it will have an effect. What, you want to play God? You want to understand? You want it to have effect on this guy. So it didn't have an effect on this guy, but it will have an effect somewhere else. 3 years ago, a few years ago, I think it was 2020, April. Iranian hackers hacked in, they hacked into the water plants, the Makorot, the water plants in Israel. And they wanted to do a massive hack in which they wanted to increase the chlorine levels of water.
Contaminate the water.
Coming to Eretz Yisrael to poison us.
I remember that.
So what happened? I want to tell you what happened. It was Corona times. Am Yisrael, unfortunately, a lot of people were passing away. A lot of elderly. There was a time in the time of the Chachamim, 2,000 years ago, when Jerusalem, they didn't have water. So what did they do? They gathered together all the children, all the young children, Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban, and they told them all, go to the Kotel, go daven over there, go daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hadn't had water for months. All the children came, they prayed. As soon as they finished their shilamos, whatever they were praying, it started to rain. Because Hashem loves the tefillot of children. So in Corona times, they had an initiative of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Gather all the children to pray around the whole of Israel. The youngsters are going to pray to get rid of this corona. And they did. And the day that they did that prayer, nothing happened. Corona still went on in this. But that very same day was the same day that the Iranians tried to hack the water. And something happened when they tried to hack it. The electricity went down, this and the other. They couldn't get in, blah, blah, blah. And eventually afterwards, when it came back on, they realized there was a trying to attack, and they propelled it. I don't know if that was because of the tefillot or the children or that, but I do know that Hashem enom reshim rikam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't return empty-handed. We say in Shema Koleinu when we pray in the Amida. What do we say? Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Chusu Hashem Elenu, Kabe Brachem Rotzenu Tevuladen. Kiel Shomet Ochem Elatav Mifunach Malkenu. Come Al Teshivenu, Milfanecha Malkenu. In front of you, Hashem, Rekam Al Teshivenu. Don't let us come back empty-handed. Enon Rishiva. Hakadosh Baruch Hu never lets us come empty-handed. You might come with a demand of 100. He might give you back one right now. But you come with you're coming with your emunah, that's it. It's there forever and ever and ever. Avraham Avinu's got emunah. He goes, he's got to save Lot. He doesn't know why he's saving this guy. He's a joker. He's a rasha. Maybe. But his great-great-granddaughter, his great-great-grandson is going to be David HaMelech. He didn't know that. There's a gem that's hidden. And that is all of Am Yisrael. That is who we are. We have this gem that needs to be polished sometimes. And our tefillot work. Our tefillot are very, very powerful. It was a rabbi, Rabbi Schlesinger, who wasn't well. I think it was in Bnei Barak. And unfortunately, he had a lung disease, certain disease. And chutz mikvodchem, he couldn't control his urine. So he's in the hospital. And there was another rabbi next door to him. In the bed. When he was lying down, he couldn't control it. If he was sitting up, he could. But if he was sitting up, he'd be in pain. He saw that there was another person in the room. And it was a Talmid Chacham. And he said, I'm going to stay up. So he sat up. The entire day, the entire night, he sat up. He was in pain, but he sat up. So the other guy wouldn't experience all this. At the end of the nurse's shift, the nurse came to the rabbi and he said to, and the rabbi's family were there. He said, I don't understand. You know, you can lie down. I've told you to, you can lie there. You said no, but now I understand you were doing it out of his kavod. If that's what the Torah says, out of a kavod, of honor somebody else, if you've got the might that you can honor somebody else to such a degree, then I just want to tell you, I've been going out with a non-Jewish girl. And after seeing this, I understand that my roots should stay with the Torah. I'm breaking up with her. A person acts and you don't understand where the ramifications will end up. We don't understand. It could be here, it could be there. We don't understand where we're going to see that si'ata dishmaya. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. One of the biggest giants in the Torah. Do you know what his name was?
Og.
Og. You ever heard of Og? Have you heard of Og?
No, it's time.
Who's Og? Og Melech HaBashan. Og was called Og for a reason. Og came to visit Avraham Avinu. He comes to visit Avraham Avinu and to tell him, by Yavoha Palit, to tell him that Lot has been taken. He wanted Avram to go and chase after the kings, and then he's going to take Avram's wife, because Avram's definitely going to die there in battle, and then he's going to take them. But because he was doing something good, he gets rewarded. While he was there, what was he doing? He chatted to Avram. He saw that Avram was doing something. You know what he was doing? He was making ugot, cakes. Ugot, but not just cakes, matzot. Matzot, it was the time of Pesach. He's making these matzot even before Pesach. Why? Because he started talking to him about emunah. He chatted to him. He left the seed in this guy's brain about Torah, about emunah, about God Almighty. It affected him. Og is one of the oldest people, giants in the entire Torah. He survived the Mabul. He survived afterwards. The war with the kings. They wanted to kill off all the giants. They couldn't kill him off. He ends up becoming a king himself, if you like. What's the chut? Because there was one ramification of a conversation with an Avraham Avinu. And this is what we need to understand. Every prayer has its impact. Every prayer. The best prayer is a sincere prayer. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we spoke about that last week. That when you're sincere, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't. That's it. He's there. Magnetized. But I was sincere. Didn't shake anything. Well, it's going to shake. Wait. There's an amalgamation. Wait and you'll see the Yeshua. Shurat Hashem keref ayin. That's what we have to understand. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we take that into account. Lech lecha. Lech lecha. Keep on going. Keep on moving. Keep on going in the right. We're always going in the right direction. Keep on being strong.